start or WRFU LP Urbana. Grab a donut before they're all gone.
What's up, y'all? This is your boy DJ BJ Clark.
Coming off of the bench in terms of offensive output, but definitely put some respect on their name, man. Put some respect.
I mean, let's put it this way. All I'm saying is the Knicks are at best fourth in the East. No, like that's the best. That's their ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. What, so you're putting them up there with? Are you putting the Pacers in the top four?
I mean, we'll see.
Like, you hedged on that one really quick.
Of course, I hedged on that really quickly because
they've been sliding.
I know I picked the Pacers number three. We'll see how that plays out.
I don't think they'll play too good.
Can stay healthy, but all I'm saying is that the best that the Knicks can be is four. They're not better than the Sixers. They're not better than the Bucks. They're not better than the Celtics. Now, if you're telling me that, like, I'll put it this way. I wouldn't bet money on them beating the Pacers, nor would I bet money on them beating the Heat. So, like, you know, are they, like, if they finish top four, could they finish top four? Sure. Could they finish top three? Maybe. Do I expect them to get to the NBA Finals? Absolutely not. Would I be shocked if they made the Eastern Conference Finals? You would be, too.
I would be. I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that from them. I think it's possible if they have a favorable matchup. Like, if they get to the point where they face the Celtics specifically, and they're just defensively, I don't know what happened with Mitchell Robinson with his injury, if he's actually when he's going to come back. I don't really have a timeline for that just yet. But if they're able to be the big-bodied and rebounders and defensive beasts, because the Celtics are really just too thirsty for threes, and their individual matchups are so great, and yet they for some reason fall back on shooting threes because this is the modern NBA. So rather than playing real basketball, they take the AAU lazy way out.
You know, everybody can be Steph Curry.
They're literally no one can be Steph Curry.
I agree with you. Like, this whole change the game mode is, like, I guess it makes sense in the abstract, but, like, ain't nobody can shoot it like him, and so I don't know why so many people are falling in love with that. But
which is the problem with Klay Thompson? You know, he thinks he can be. He might very well be the second best shooter in the league. Maybe he could be in a conversation with a couple years ago. Maybe not today. What are your thoughts on the Suns then?
I mean, it's just to be TBD, right? Like, have the three of them played yet together?
I want to say
beyond those 8 minutes.
I want to say it's been less than a game or two games or something like that before.
Yeah, look, I'll put it this way. Classic not number one guy, Bradley Beal, right? Big numbers on terrible teams. He's not a number one guy. I don't even know if he's a number two guy, right? Like, and I don't know that it works with him as a number three guy because he thinks he's a number one. But we'll see.
I think the bigger problem is they didn't decide who's the closer. And for me, that is Durant, who has the demonstrated success. I think there was a lot of people falling in love with the way that D-Book looked in the playoffs. He was like perfect, shooting lights out, which for a couple of games before he reverted back to that meme with Doncic looking at him and, like, you know, during the...
That somebody else would use Kevin Durant.
It's a lot of ego.
Like, I'll put it this way, right? Like, Steph didn't act like the number one option when he was on the team with Kevin Durant, and Steph is objectively better than Booker.
Very much so.
Now, KD is older now, but still.
I mean, I'm not hitting on D-Book shot, but offensively, you could make an argument for Steph in the final moments, except for the fact that he's maybe hit only one buzzer beater in his whole career. Other than that, you know, I mean, like, how many clutch shots?
I mean, it's okay to be a number two guy. Like, I mean, you know, Paul George, who I like a lot, like, made this point last year. He's like, I'm the number two guy. Kawhi is our guy. I'm okay with that. And, like, being able to say that publicly does a lot of good for, like, team dynamics.
And the franchise.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to recruit
now,
other players.
Stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm not between – I mean, they have, like, one knee between the two of them, functional leg between Kawhi and Paul George, and it's never seemed to be at the same time. So
I would love to see that series.
Suns versus Clippers.
I mean, maybe they should hold it tomorrow since everybody is healthy, like, right now.
If they make it to the playoffs, literally, there's no – if I had to take the over-under on whether all five of those players will be in the playoffs in the same – it's like expecting Chris Paul to be healthy in the playoffs. It's just – I can't do it.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want to thank you for your time. Anyone else, anything else you want to let the folks know, any other
words of wisdom? I'll just end on, democracy is work. And, and if we, good people sort of cede democracy to folks like Donald Trump, who are intent on destroying it, on canceling the Constitution, and lying about, voting and pretty much everything else, like, we're going to lose it. And so, it's up to us. You got to look in the mirror, do what you can, if they can.
Thank you to you. Thank you to all the folks out there who tune with us. Thank you to Stuart Levy in the back. Drop WRFULP on 104.5 FM. Going to go ahead and fade out and give the outro for all the folks. Again, if you want to give us feedback, you can always contact us at WRFU@theshow1045.com. WRFU@theshow1045.com. As always, never too good for criticism. Definitely deserve it of it. But again, appreciate all the time and support, all the folks out there in Radio Land. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to, again, Stuart Levy. Shout out to DJ BJ Clark and all the folks out there who helped and support. Deuces.
Merry Christmas, man.
Likewise, brother. Peace.
With the After Work Drive Show, right here on 104.5 WRFU. I want to invite you to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, BJ. Yeah.
I did this like a million times.
Do it.
Come on.
Then do it.
And if you want it, we got it.
Yeah.
Do it to give you all of me.
Let them know.
How you feel about me. And
ain't no holding us down.
Cause
we gon' rep. We gon' rep till
if
we die.
No lie.
You want it, we got it. Right here. Right now. Come get it.
Eventually you all will see. Cause
come
I'm about
get
to
it.
Give all of me. If you want me, we
say
got
no
it. Guaranteed to give it all of me. No matter how
life.
You feel about
for
me.
Existence.
Eventually you all will see.
What we
cause
do.
I'm about to give it all of me.
Check it. It's nothing and I'm not bluffing. Anything we make, we can keep on coming. Yep, we gon' rock it till the wheels fall off. You dealing with Capo Black Sicilian boss. Oh, yeah, and I ain't the one to be crossed. Cause I'ma make my rise at any cost. Yeah, and I'ma rip up tracks. Let the whole damn world know about Fat Cat. Yeah,
on it, we got it. Guaranteed to give you all of me. No matter how you feel about me. I bet you look your eye will see. Cause I'm about to give you all of me. If you want it, we got it.
Hands up in the sky, I'm waving back and forth from side to side. We about to get things crump in the 605. Then next we go in nationwide. Show it up from city to countryside. We gon' rock these towns to the day that we die. A born rebel with American pride. Yeah, we gon' rock these towns to the day that we die.
If
come on.
If you want it, we got it. Guaranteed to give it all of me. No matter how you feel about me. I bet you look at all we see. Cause I'm about to give out of me. If you want it, we got it. Guaranteed to give it out of me. No matter how you feel about me. Eventually, yeah, I will see. Cause I'm about to give it out of me. I've been patient and waiting to blow up with this rap game. Trying to get naked any way I can. Selling demons and records that I got for $5 in my dorm room. I don't care, I ain't scared. Haters and hoes hating on me cause they know I'm going places that they can't go. Sit back and congratulate. When you find me in the club, you gotta give me love, love.
Man, no kidding. If you want it, we got it.
For sure.
And we gon' drop it, baby.
Yeah.
For sure. Check it. Check. I'm a rep to death, and I ain't fighting unless I'm fighting the best. Kick down the door with this music, get it all off my chest. I'ma rise above the rest, and I'ma go for it all. I'll be standing when the curtain falls. This is for the underdogs.
It, yeah. Guaranteed to give you all of me. No matter how you feel about me. I bet you look at all we see. Cause I'm about to give you all of me. If you want it, we got it. Guaranteed to give you all of me. No matter how you feel about me. I bet you look at all we see. Cause I'm about to give you all of me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of East to West. Thank you to my lovely assistant for helping me set up today. Today, I just want to talk about lamp and light. And what does a lamp have to do with anything in the gospel? When we think of a lamp, we think of, an object that lights the darkness. And so we're just going to talk about how we can become a lamp, how we're called to become a lamp. And when we get that light of God in us, what we're supposed to do with it and what we're not supposed to do with it. You know, many times, many times, we forget all too often in this troubled world that we do have a light inside of us that's supposed to burn bright and that's supposed to burn out the darkness in our lives, in the world's lives, in people's lives. And so, so we're just going to talk about that today. We're going to talk a little Super Bowl. I'd like to talk about that. Even though I don't have a dog in the fight per se, I'm still excited to watch it. I'm still excited to just see this competition, where these two teams are struggling to gain ground, struggling to get to that end zone, to score just enough points to win and defeat the other team. But first of all, let's just get into it right now. So I'm going to read a parable from Luke chapter 8, and starts in verse 16, and it talks about the revealed light. This is what I like about this parable. It's not talking about a light. It's not talking about, a dim light. It's not talking about a light that's supposed to be kept, hidden or turned off. It's a revealed light. God is saying to us, it's time that we turn the light switch on in our souls and in our walks with Him and in our life. So that way, people can see the light of God. It says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who may enter may see the light. For nothing is sacred that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed all you, how you hear, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have, even though what he has seems will be taken from him. So this is a very, very, I feel like a very pivotal moment in our Christian life, in our Christian mindset, because it's just, God is very clearly calling us to be a light, to the world. To be a light to those who are struggling in their own darkness with whatever they're going through. It's time for us to set down our agendas and to set down our ideals and ideas and surrender those that we may pick up this lampstand that God has given us to walk out into the darkness of someone's life and say, enter in. Follow the light. A few years ago, my wife and I went to Prince Edward Island in Canada. Beautiful. One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. If you can picture rolling hills, mountains, trees. I mean, it's just blue sky, beautiful. It was just absolutely beautiful. And we got to go to this cove, and it had probably one of the most photographed lighthouses in the world. It's amazing. It's just beautiful. It's rustic. It's just awesome. I've never ever seen a lighthouse in person. I've never been to one, but just the magnitude of it, just walking up and seeing this thing, this building with this huge light on top, and knowing that for hundreds of years, sailors could sail their ships into this cove by that light. Even when it was foggy, they knew to look for the light. And they knew that light would guide them to safety. That light would guide them into this cove. And it was just amazing. I mean, it's just one of the most fond memories I've ever had. It was amazing. We got to go in, go up to the top, look around. And it's just crazy to think that this symbol, you know, of this lighthouse really, if we think about it, really represents that Christian light that God has put in us to just walk out and light out the world. It's just amazing. I love it. You know, other places it talks about how you don't, you know, when I was a child, you know, in school, Sunday school, we'd always sing that, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Sorry, I cannot sing very well, but you remember the song. And it's talking about, I'm not going to put it under a bush, I'm not going to put it under a rock, I'm going to let it shine. And it's just amazing that at such an early age that song was implanted into me. Now, further on down the road, that light wasn't as bright as it should have been, you know. But it was still there, and it's still there with you, it's still there with all of us. There's a light inside of us, and that light can be come in the form of compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness, trust, do-overs. I mean, I think one of the greatest things we can do for our broken relationships or for somebody that's wounded us is a do-over. It's amazing. It's a do-over. You know, let's try this again. Let's wipe the slate clean. Let's do this again. I mean, it's just amazing how when we do that, how that light just intensifies. I mean, it's like, you know, when you walk into a room and you turn the light on for the first few seconds, your eyes are kind of, you know, trying to adjust to this light. But boy, man, aren't we glad that we had the light in the darkness to see, you know, what we couldn't see before? I'm glad I have a light, because I tell you, I probably would be wearing a lot of mismatched socks to work. Because, you know, the light helps us to see what we need to see. It helps provide that light that we can use to guide our life, to help guide other people's life. You know, a few nights ago, you know, we did One Winter Night. Amazing. Amazing. I love that it's done in the dark. I love that it's done in the dark of night, because in the dark of night, you just see all these, it's like I see all these little lampstands, you know, by the boxes, in the volunteer room, in the registration area, you know, on the smiles. I see hundreds of lampshades out there. You know, it's just, for me, they're not just box dwellers. They're not just somebody who wants to spend the night in the cold and say, "Woohoo! I spent the night in a box." I think these are actual lampstands, and I think when we look at each other, we need to see each other as lampstands. And some of us may need a bulb change, or a little oil added to the wick, but we're all lampstands. We're all capable of shining light in the darkness. You know, God has given us that. That's I believe one of the great mighty things that we are inherently born with is this light that can be used to light things and to cast out darkness and to cast out fear and to cast out, you know, just things that cause uncertainty and that cause, you know, it's just wonderful. I just love it. I love talking about the light. I love talking about helping people. And, you know, and I think when we can really wrap our mind around this concept that everybody has a lampstand inside them, everybody has this bulb inside of them that's either turned on or turned off. And with us having ours turned on and letting us let the light of God shine through our lives, I think it helps them to realize how easy it is to turn the switch on. You know, God's not asking us to build a house here. You know, he's not asking us to wire people. He's not asking us to wire our own selves. He's just asking us, turn your light on and don't hide it. You know, don't go in a dark room and turn your light on, because a light in a dark room is just a light in a dark room. But a light in the world, when you're out in the world and people see this light in you and they see this joy and they just see this compassion, oh my gosh, it just changes. It changes everything. It does. I've seen it. I know it. I'm not just saying this in hopes that it'll work. I know it works. I know it does. I've seen so many people just changed by the light of God, because the light that's in us is not our light. We can't boast about our light. Our light is God's light. Our job is to be the vessel, to be that lampstand for God. You know, he just loves it. You know, he talks about in Revelation, you know, he talks about the churches and the lampstands, you know, and how they are in danger of having their lampstand taken away from them because they have forgotten their first love, to love the Lord and to love the neighbors with all their heart, soul, and mind, you know. And so I don't want to see anybody's lampstand taken away. I don't. I want to see it burning bright. I want it to be burning so bright that darkness has no chance to even think about entering the picture. Now, is that a little lofty? Sure. But what does God say in the Bible? With man things are impossible, but with God, what does he say? But with God, all things are possible. And so I just believe that. I just believe that, you know, he can do that. You know, and when we really let our lampstand shine, I believe that we can really begin to walk in unity, because we're all striving for that same goal, to cast out darkness. When we have our lampstands burning brightly and we're realizing our true identity in Christ, that we are to be these beacons of light for those lost in this broken and dark world, that we're supposed to be these beacons that are not only reaching out but pointing back, pointing up to Jesus. It's just amazing. It's amazing. I love it. We end up ultimately just walking in unity. You know, it just says, you know, Paul talks about it in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, he says, you know, he talks about there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So if he's in us, then the light is in us. And it is our job to keep that light burning. It is our job to keep that light flowing so that people can see, especially in these times that we're going through. You know, people talk about, oh, the light at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel. I always have to remind them, the light is already in the tunnel. The light was at the beginning of the tunnel. The light is in the tunnel. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We don't have to go through this dark tunnel to get to the light. God has already done that for us by sending Jesus. He came through the tunnel. He brought light through the tunnel. The tunnel's already been lit. We just have to realize that, and we have to grab that. You know, in Ephesians 5, he talks about, you know, for once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, and have, you know, just reach out and realize that we are supposed to walk in this fantastic light. You know, I always, like going back to One Winter Night, I always find it interesting that I'm always reminded that it takes me getting into a box to help me get out, to think out of the box. You know, I get in the box to spend the night, but it always helps me to remind myself to get out of my own box and to get out of my own judgments and own preconceived notions. I've really gotten to connect with a guy who hangs out a lot at Springfield and Mattis. Young guy. I've been able to just chat with him a few times. You know, I brought him breakfast the other day. And it's just amazing. I'm telling you, it's just amazing that when God touches him in those conversations, and God, even though he's feels trapped in this situation, that there's a lampstand. I don't know how better to say it than there's just this little light that seeks him out, that seeks to help him in this time of struggle that he's going through. And it's just amazing. I love him. He's just a good kid. It's let the world's darkness get to him. And I pray every day before I go to work. First of all, I pray, Lord, give me your words. And Lord, give me your light. Because sometimes it's hard to hear the words, but not so hard always to see the light. And I just love it. You know, there was old Hank Williams sang, you know, one of my favorite country songs of all time. And I know you guys know it. I Saw the Light. It's just amazing because you just hear in his voice, you know, that physical manifestation, that physical picture of what it really is supposed to feel like when you see the light of God in your life. I mean, the light of God is so powerful that, I mean, when Jesus had the transfiguration and the light of God, the power of God shone through him, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it was like they didn't know what to do. They were like, should we build altars? What should we do? And Jesus was like, just enjoy it. Just soak in it, you know, just enjoy that and realize that who I am by the light in my life, you know. And that's, and like Jesus says, they will know Jesus by our love. And what does our love do, I think? Our love just amps up the wattage of our light bulbs. I think that's what it does. It just amps up the wattage of the light bulbs that God has placed in our hearts. Because we all have a calling. When we're born into this world, each and every one of us has a calling. Has just this calling. And this light that's put into us. You know, I just think of, you know, the poem by Amanda Groman. I just think, oh my gosh, what a powerful lampstand that was that day. I mean, what a powerful light. I mean, just every word was like the wattage was getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And it was like by the time she was done with this poem, it was like the brilliance of the sun was just shining through. It was amazing. I love it. I love it when I get to see the light in other people's lives just explode. Just, I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And so I just encourage you this week to try to find that light in yourselves, and then go out and try to help people find the light in them. Because everyone has one. Everybody has a light. Everybody has an opportunity to walk in this light that God has given us. You know, it's just amazing. I just love it. I just love reading through the epistles. My wife and I are just reading through them every night now. And it's just amazing what this great theme of love and light is in the epistles. And walking in unity. And talking about being reconciled in Christ. You know, and that this notion that no matter how far away we go, we can be reconciled in Christ. We can be We can be redeemed. We can bring